Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Well, God's really been good to us, hasn't he? I mean, we just trial after blessing after trial after blessing. I love that cycle. The trials make us appreciate the blessings so much more, and the blessings get us ready for the next trial all the more. And I look across, and I've talked to many of you, and some of you are in the midst of trials, and I'm looking for God to send along that blessing where you come in here that Sunday with a big grin on your face. And I know what it's for, and you know what it's for, and everybody else may not. I look at some of you who've just come through a trial, and you're just blessed right now, and you've got that big grin on your face, and it's a blessing, especially at Thanksgiving time, to say, "Thank you, Lord, for your goodness on me. God's been good to us. Man, I love, great is thy faithfulness. Praise the Lord." He is so faithful to us who are so undeserving, but God is faithful nonetheless. Let's read this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I want to bring a sermon to you this morning titled, "Always Thankful." We should always be thankful. And I'm not coming at you at in a critical manner this morning. I've enjoyed Facebook this month. A lot of times I don't always enjoy Facebook, but I always seem to read Facebook for some reason. But it's like a newspaper of your lives, and I enjoy that. It's nice. It's the news I want to hear, not the news I don't want to hear. But during the month of November, several of you have taken each day of the month, and you've put up what you're thankful for. And man, that's such a blessing to me to get up and read every day. I start my day with some of you saying, "Day 1, I'm thankful for this," or "Day 15, I'm thankful for this." What's today? What day are we on today? 18. Thanks. I'm lost in the calendar here. But it's wonderful to hear what people are thankful for. But I've noticed some have put on there and said, "Well, we just ought to be thankful every day, not just during November." You know, have you heard this mentality? That's so critical. Be happy. Be joyous. It's November. It's Thanksgiving month. This is when we are thankful. Yes, we should always be thankful every week, not just in November. But we're not, are we? Let's try that again. We're not, are we? No. So there's no reason to be critical on top of that. We try. January is going to come around, and you're going to resolve something. Even those who say, "I don't do resolutions," you're going to, in your mind, say, "This year I'm going to do this better." But you give that up halfway through the year. I mean, it's just the case. That's just what we do. It's human nature. And there's no reason for us to make light of it, but there's also no reason to point it out and be critical about it, especially critical towards others. Don't rain on somebody's parade. Don't frown on my sunshine. Amen? Don't stick your finger in my ice cream. I'm going to eat that. We're to always be thankful. But I love these times of the year where it helps us to remember certain things. Didn't you like last Sunday as we recognized the veterans? Man, that was great. Man, I enjoyed that. We've got Brother George is here this morning, Brother Homer, and Brother Randy. They weren't able to be here last week, but we recognized you. I want y'all to know we recognized you along with the other veterans. Brother Rick Cawthorn as well. We recognized him. Yes, sir, Brother Homer. That's all it was. That's all it was. I promise. Now, Brother George was talked about, but it was more than just that. I got a good joke, but I can't use it yet. I got to wait till Brother Luther's not around. He told me a really good joke this morning, but y'all have to. It's a good one, isn't it? Yeah. See, Brother George. Most of my jokes, Brother George says, don't even tell them. We've all heard them 100 times. Just tell us what number joke it is, and we'll all laugh on reaction. But he said, I can tell this one, so I'll give it to you sometime. Maybe not this morning. But we need to always be thankful. And I'm not preaching a critical message to you this morning on we should be thankful not just at Thanksgiving time. So don't think that. I didn't want you to have any presuppositions as I get into the sermon. Do y'all have presuppositions to things? I do. I'm bad about that. I go to a restaurant, and some restaurants I think I have a presupposition in my head, and it's just they can't help themselves because of me. I'm the problem, not the restaurant. Are y'all this way? You know. All right. Let's read together in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray together before we begin. Heavenly Father, we're so honored to be here today with this wonderful group of people. Father, of these saints, Lord, I'm the least worthy to be here and be accepted into their midst this morning. Lord, I'm just an unworthy sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings. God, I thank you for your word and what a blessing it is to hold in our hands this morning and to read its pages. Lord, I thank you for just, Lord, in our Sunday school this morning, we talked about how it was like honey to our lips. Father, as we did our responsive reading this morning, your word was like honey to my lips. And I thank you for forgiveness of sin and for pardon and for mercy and grace and these wonderful terms that we draw out from the passages. God, we ask you to bless this time here this morning as we read of Paul and his thankfulness. Help us to leave here today with a heart full of thanks. And we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
To begin, we do need to establish the point, and I think I've driven it home already, maybe a little too much, that we're not always thankful. I mean, there are just times where we should be more thankful, and we're not. It wasn't too long ago someone did something very nice for me. It was breathtaking. It was so nice and so good and so giving on their behalf. And they called me not to say, hey, do you like what I did? Now let's hear it, buddy. You know, it wasn't that kind of thing. It was just checking on me and making sure I had gotten what they had given me and that everything was working out all right. And I said, oh, yeah, you know. And I went through the whole thing without one time in that phone call saying thanks. And I got off the phone and I thought to myself, well, you jerk, he didn't even say thanks. And that's not even why they called, but they would probably like to hear you say thank you. Those are hard words to say, or they shouldn't be, but I think sometimes they are, or we forget or take for granted. So I called right back, and I said, you know, I know this isn't why you called me, but I should have said thank you. I'm sorry I didn't say thank you. Thank you. So I ended up, instead of just saying thank you, I ended up having to say I'm sorry and thank you. And I hate saying I'm sorry. Do y'all hate saying I'm sorry? I was wrong. Whew, that's a tough one too, isn't it? But we're not always thankful. Some of our days, some of the times that we're in, leave us feeling anything but thankful. Have you had those days where, I mean, it's just one of those days you just can't be thankful? There's times we go through in our lives where it's very hard for us to be thankful. Paul is beginning to write a lengthy letter here to the Corinthians. And if you know anything about the church at Corinth, he was going to have to write about some things and deal with some things that it's hard for me to read sometimes, just the graphic nature of what Paul gets into here. Before writing about what is going on there, Paul writes that he is thankful, and we read that in verse number 4. I thank my God always, no matter what, no matter where I'm at, no matter what you're going through, no matter what I'm having to deal with, I thank God always. And we're to be always thankful, no matter what we're facing. Dr. Alexander White of Edinburgh was famous for his pulpit prayers. He always found something to thank God for, even in the bad times. One stormy morning, a member of his congregation thought to himself, the preacher will have nothing to thank God for on a wretched morning like this. But White began his prayer, we thank thee, O God, that it's not always like this. We have always something to be thankful for, don't we? Praise the Lord for that. As you go through the Thanksgiving week this week, there are going to be things you're not going to be thankful for. You're going to have to see family that maybe you're not comfortable being around, or maybe you just would prefer not see. You'll probably see a lot of family that you're happy to see, but there might be somebody who gets on your nerves a little bit. You may have to go somewhere where you don't want to be. You may have to eat some things that you don't want to eat. I won't comment on that. I like to eat everything, so I don't even know what to say to that. But we're to be thankful no matter what. If you can't think of anything else to be thankful for as you go through your days, as you go through your weeks, just use Paul's reasons. That's all right, isn't it? Is that plagiarism to use Paul's reasons for being thankful? No, I don't think it is. Let me show you some things here in this passage that we've read this morning that are Paul's reasons for being thankful that you and I can use as well. Verse number 4 begins it. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God. What is grace? Grace to you and I is God's unmerited favor. I was taught from a child that grace is getting what we don't deserve. Have you ever gotten what you don't deserve? Usually, so I've gotten what I don't deserve in the bad sometimes. My sister used to trick me into getting in trouble, and then I would get what I didn't deserve for what she tricked me into doing. Amen? My parents hate that they come to church here. They love all y'all, but they can't stand the preacher. But grace, in the good sense, is getting what we don't deserve. It's God's unmerited favor. We try so hard as humans, I hope you do, and I do, to earn all that we have. Do you do that? Do you try to earn what it is that you have? It feels good at the end of the day when you know you've put in the time, you've put in the effort, you've done what's necessary to have what is yours, and that you've earned it and you've worked for it and it's yours. And I'm not saying that's bad. That's good. Good for you that you're that way. The problem with that is it plays over into our spiritual lives. As a Christian, I try to earn all that I have spiritually. I want to pay God back for His goodness to me. I want to feel like that I deserve God's salvation and forgiveness of sins. But it doesn't work that way, does it? We can't earn what we have. We feel like if we just keep all of God's rules, then He'll like me and be good to me. God doesn't operate that way. In fact, sometimes I feel like God likes me better when I've broken all of His rules. And here I am, worthless, good for nothing, saying, Lord, I don't even know what to say. That's when I feel like He likes me the best. I'm not saying that's the case. He likes us the same all the time, doesn't He? The Bible says that it doesn't work like that. We can't earn God's goodness. We can't earn God's grace. In fact, the Bible goes so far to say that even at our best, we can never live up to God's standard. Romans 3:10 says very plainly, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Did that offend anyone here this morning? Did you come feeling kind of righteous to church today? The Bible says plainly, there is none righteous, no, not one. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, the first place you need to come to as a human is to just admit, yeah, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong, I do wrong. Those are just the facts. In our generation, it's popular to do that. It's popular to, not in the religious sense, but it's popular out in the world to just be me, be comfortable in the skin I'm in, to own up to who I am, to be just, I'm going to be me and I don't care what anybody thinks about it. You know, have you heard that kind of language in our culture? That's popular. That works in the church too. Just be you. We all pretend to be religious, but we're not that much more different than you are. We're just dependent on God and His Word to get us into heaven. We all admitted at one point that we're a bunch of sinners. How many of you would agree with me here this morning? I'm just a sinner. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you just need to admit you're a sinner. And all of these self-righteous people, I'm digging a hole here, have admitted along with me that they're sinners too. But that's the first step to accepting Christ. Your goodness is never going to impress Him because He is good. It's His grace. There's none righteous. No matter what, you and I can never obtain righteousness. Now, that's kind of discouraging to think that everything we try to do or want to do can never get us there. But what you have to realize is it's not us obtaining. It's us accepting that it's already been done. God in grace. What was grace? Unmerited favor. God in His unmerited favor. There's nothing we did to deserve it. It was undeserved. God in grace imputed His righteousness into us. Well, that's a good place to be in. I'm thankful for that. I can always be thankful for grace. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what today may hold ahead of me, I can always be thankful for grace. Can you say I'm thankful for grace? Can you be thankful this morning? If for nothing else, you can lift up an unworthy hand and say, thank you, Lord, for grace. You've been mighty good to me, and I don't deserve it, but thank you for grace. We read in verse number 5 about enrichment. Look at verse 5 again with me this morning. That in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. You know, having freedom from sin and being justified by God's grace is enough. This saying has become popular and I like it. I'm living better than I deserve. In grace, under grace, God's imputed righteousness in our lives, it's better than we deserve already. Anything added to that is just more than we deserve. I've heard it put this way, and I like it this way, that grace or forgiveness of sin is just the cake, and anything else on top of that is the icing on the cake. I'm stealing that from some of you. But that's exactly right. When I read verse 5 here, and I read about enrichment, that's what I think about, is just icing on the cake. Grace is the cake. You know about cake, right? Y'all like cake as much as I do? You see, when Thanksgiving time comes around, we talk about being blessed. I try not to turn sideways because you can see how blessed I really am if I turn sideways. But I like cake. It's bread. And I like bread, but it's bread with sugar in it. Amen? Mmm. And then somebody had this great idea to cut that bread in half and put this more sugar in the middle that's creamy and put it all over the outsides and call it cake. Well, I like that. I like cake without all that icing, but you put icing on it and I really like cake. And my wife can't keep cake because it just disappears around our house. At night, this guy walks around in his sleep and drinks all the milk and eats all the cake. I don't know. I mean, maybe some of y'all could help us with that. But I like cake. Is it Jack? Is that who it is? Poor old Jackson. Y'all need to love my kids special. Now, they're not different than any of the other kids except they have to live with me. My poor children. We're going to show up one Sunday. My parents and my children are going to go to church somewhere else. They're not going to come here anymore. I'm going to move past cake. Enrichment. Everything else in our lives on top of grace. I mean, forgiveness of sin, not having to go to hell, that's good. I can live with that and be happy for the rest of my days. But then there's more. Have you seen this commercial, and I've used this before, where the guy is sitting there and they say, here's your whatever, and he says, and then they add something to it. And then he grows up and he's sitting at a job and you're going to get the job. And they say stock options, you know. He just keeps saying and they keep adding stuff to it and eventually he gets a Coke Zero. I don't know why a Coke Zero is better than all the other stuff he was supposed to get, but that's what he gets. But that's what I think of when I think of enrichment. You're saved. And then, I mean, just fill in the blank there with anything in your life and it's good. God's been good to us in our lives. God freely showed us grace and he promised a home in heaven. God freely showed us grace, and he allows us to hold his complete word in our hands. Do you realize that the first church didn't have the Bible? They didn't have the complete word. They had to sit around and wait on a letter from an apostle or an author to be able to read it. They had the Old Testament, but the Old Testament can be boring at times. I like the New Testament. It's nice and refreshing, and it's where I'm at. Some of you Old Testament people got really mad at me right there. I do like the Old Testament. We're going through 1 Kings on Wednesday nights right now. But you'd have to say that. It gets kind of boring sometimes, doesn't it? Y'all better not say amen to that. It hurt my feelings. God gave us grace, and he allowed us to be born in America. I don't care what you say about America. It beats any alternative. Amen? God gave us grace, and he allows us to breathe his air. Have you ever understood or been told how air gets to become oxygen that we breathe? You know that you and I, we don't breathe back out good air. Isn't that right? What do we breathe out? Carbon dioxide? Is it monoxide or dioxide?
Dioxide.
And we can't breathe that back in, right? It would hurt us and make us sick. So you and I are polluting God's air, and he still allows us to breathe his good air back in. And he grows these trees up that turn it back into the oxygen that you and I need to breathe. That's enrichment. That's just icing on top of the cake. And I know that sounds silly. But if you're at that place where you say, I just don't know what I'm going to be thankful for. I'm not looking forward to Thanksgiving because, boy, it just hasn't been a good year. There's always something to be thankful for. And sometimes it takes getting down to the basics, to the small things like air, and just saying, Lord, thank you for the air that I'm breathing right now. And if everything else is so bad in your life that you're having to thank God for air, praise him anyhow for the air. And I promise you things will look up from there on. God enriches our lives. It's something that we can always be thankful for. Now, enrichment is generally great, like icing, but sometimes it can seem, at the time, difficult or bad, like school. Now, school teachers, y'all put on your earmuffs. I'm going to hurt your feelings. But I didn't like school coming along. I liked PE and lunch and recess. Go ahead, Brother Austin, testify, brother. You have a witness. But it's enrichment. We need school. I can read now because of school, and I can write. I don't write very well, but I can write if I need to. People make fun of how I sign my name. I put a C and an S and some swirly lines, and it works. You know, I don't write great. I was better at basketball than I was writing, I guess. But school was enrichment. It seemed bad at the time, but I'm glad that I have it. Vitamins. Why do they make vitamins taste so bad? Why can't vitamins just taste good, like icing? Right? Am I wrong? We would take more vitamins if they taste better than they do now. Sometimes enrichment seems bad, but it's really good. What you're going through right now may not be happy. It may not be something you get up every day and look forward to. But I promise you, anything past grace is enrichment. It's God working in your life to an end that in the end you're going to be happy about. It's hard to go through, but it's enrichment. Thank God for enrichment. You know, I played football growing up, and my coach was an offensive lineman at the University of Georgia. Go Dawgs, anybody? Well, Jack, that's where you're supposed to shout like Austin did. I'm not going to talk about other college football teams that we could talk about this morning. But in football practice, they teach us how to block. He was an offensive lineman, and we didn't pass. We didn't do anything fancy. He believed if you got 3.5 yards of play, you'd win about football games. And that was how he coached us. And his focus was on the offensive line. Now, believe it or not, I was a slim, trim little dude in high school. Wasn't my mom. See, my mother says that. And Miss Chanel, you should have seen her face. I'm not the man she married. But I was the same height I am now, but I was only like 165 pounds. I mean, I looked sick. People would ask me if I was sick. I mean, they really would. But because I was so tall, because I was so slow, they put me on the offensive line. And they'd teach us how to block. And I appreciated being taught how to block. It was enrichment, and I needed this. But our coaches, who were great offensive linemen, two of them, one played defensive line at Georgia, and one played offensive line at Georgia, they built this thing called the chutes. Did anybody else have to do the chutes when you played football? All right, Brother Lynn knows where I'm at, Brother John. So they pretty much, it's this wireframe structure. You could use a trampoline frame if you wanted. And then they would take metal and make a square and then put chicken wire all over the square. Y'all know what chicken wire is? Like fencing, it's not wire, but I guess it is wire. So, and then they would hang that from this structure, and then it would be flat like a table, and we'd have to go under it. So you'd get down in your stance, and they'd say, hut one, and then you'd go through. And the guy behind you would get up there, hut one, and he'd go through. And then you'd have a guy on the other side, he'd hold up a blocking dummy, and you had to shove him back about this far from the ground, and you couldn't put your hands on the ground, but you had to keep your feet low. And if your head came up, guess what you heard? Chicken wire rubbing across the top of your helmet. That don't sound too bad, but if you've ever had it happen to you, it's just misery. I mean, it's awful. You already have a headache because you've been banging heads with people, and then you got to go underneath this chicken wire, and if you get too high, oh, it's just torture. I know it don't. Y'all are looking at me like that ain't so bad, but it was, all right? Now, that was enrichment. We had the best offensive line in the state. I mean, we really did. They would come. Every summer, our school would have an offensive line camp. The Georgia offensive line camp was hosted at our school. We didn't have the best offensive linemen, but we had the best offensive line. And it was enrichment. It was good for us. But I didn't like it at the time. I mean, I look back on it now, and I probably still wouldn't go for them shoots, but I was glad I learned about it. What about onions? You know, onions are enrichment. You never think of them that way, do you? Onions make you cry when you peel them. They give you bad breath after you eat them. Use mints, people. Come on. I'm just kidding. It's probably me with the onion breath here. But don't they make a hot dog taste good? Mmm, man. I mean, this piece of meat that nobody knows what's in it that we've put in a circle. Why it needs to be shaped that way, I do not know. But you put onions on it, it tastes really good. It's enrichment. We can always be thankful for grace and enrichment. Amen. Thursday, when you pray that prayer of thanksgiving, before you feast with your family, be thankful for enrichment. You can be thankful for grace and all the rest of this. God, you've been so good to me. Thank you. And say that prayer. Don't just get right into the football and the feasting. And do y'all do the sales papers on Thanksgiving like we do? We go buy a bunch of Atlanta Journal-Constitutions, which is the Tennessean around here, but we're always in Georgia for Thanksgiving. And they're like this thick with everybody's sales papers. And so we get our food, and we have football on the TV, and then we start looking through the sales paper. What can I get a good deal on the day after Thanksgiving? Why do they call it Black Friday? It's glorious, great Friday. I get cheap stuff. My wife can go shopping, and I have more money left at the end of the day. I'm a big fan of that. But say that prayer. I want to share this little story with you. A farmer visited a large city, and in a restaurant before eating, the man bowed his head in a prayer of thanksgiving. Seeing this, a young man sneeringly asked, "Say, old man, back where you come from, does everyone pray before he eats?" The farmer quietly replied, "The hogs don't." Hey, don't be a hog at Thanksgiving. Say the prayer of Thanksgiving before you begin your meal. Amen. Let's move on. We have grace in verse 4, enrichment in verse number 5, and verse number 6. Let's read verse 6 together. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, when you and I speak of testimony, we call it, it's my testimony. And if I were to ask you to stand up and give a testimony, I'd say, Brother Sam, would you give your testimony? But I like how Paul words this here. He doesn't call it my testimony or your testimony. He says, the testimony of Christ in you. You see, I can mess up my testimony, and I have. I mean, some of you after this sermon are never going to think the same about me again. My wife's over here with her head down like this because I've just got way off. And I just keep going. For some reason, I can't stop. I can mess up my testimony, but I can't mess Jesus up. He's already done so much good, I can't mess with that. I like the idea, when I think of the testimony that I'm thankful for, it's not my testimony, it's not my parents' testimony, it wasn't my preacher's testimony, it was the testimony of Christ in me. In me. It's in me. Praise the Lord for that. I have a testimony because Christ is in me. But when we're to be thankful, we're to be thankful for the testimony of Christ in us. Aren't you thankful for where you are today versus where you were before you came to know Jesus? Boy, it's a great place to be. Your life's different than it was before. And you can be thankful for that. Always thankful for grace. Always thankful for enrichment. Always thankful for the testimony. Verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift. Now, we'll get to the rest of verse 7 here in just a moment. But speaking of gifts here, the Corinthians were known for their spiritual gifts. In fact, a lot of the controversy in the modern church comes from Corinthians, what Paul was writing to these people in Corinth. But spiritual gifts are important. Do you know your spiritual gift? Do you know how God has gifted you in your life to work for Him? We're all gifted in some way to prepare us to better serve in the area God has willed. Some of us, or all of us, were useless by this world's standards and gifted for nothing. But to God, we are created with a purpose and gifted like no one else to do just what He needs us to do. Isn't that wonderful to think about? You have purpose with God. God has a plan for you and your life and what He wants you to do. Let that encourage you. We can always be thankful for our gifts. Then in the end of verse 7 there, it says, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also, verse 8, confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I can be thankful for Christ's return. If nothing else, I can be thankful for Christ's return. If I get to a place in my life where grace just doesn't mean to me what it did yesterday, and today I'm tired of hearing about the grace that this preacher talks about that I'm not feeling right now, I'm still could be thankful for Christ's return. Amen. If there's no icing on my cake and there's no enrichment in my life, I can still be thankful that Christ is going to return someday. We can always be thankful. No matter how bad a day may get on earth, Christians live with the constant hope that Jesus might just show up at any moment to take us all home. We can always be thankful for that. Praise the Lord that He's going to return. And then in verse number 9, God is faithful. I mean, if you've got nothing else to be thankful for, you can always be thankful because of God's faithfulness. We sang the song this morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Boy, God's faithful, isn't He? He's faithful to human beings, mankind as a whole. And He's faithful to this church. And He's faithful to your family. But He's faithful to just you. I mean, just you, individually. You might not feel like you're important to anyone else, but you are to God. At mankind's worst moment, God was still faithful. Let's assume here that our worst moment was when Adam and Eve introduced sin into a garden of sinless perfection. Pretty bad moment, wasn't it? God's curse had to come upon all men, for that all had sinned, right? Assuming that was our worst moment. Here's Adam and Eve realizing their nakedness, and they're trying to cover themselves up because they have sinned, and they've introduced sin for all mankind. Where was God? He was right there. And you know what God was looking for? God wasn't saying, where's that Adam? Well, I'm going to get him. No. God said, Adam, where art thou? See, every other day God come to the garden and He and Adam had walked together and talked together and had fellowship. God didn't come accusing of sin right off the bat. God came looking for fellowship still. God was faithful at mankind's worst moment. And He just came looking for Adam. Assuming our worst moment was when we took our sinless Savior and nailed Him to the cross. Pretty bad moment, wasn't it? God came in the flesh in the form of His Son and lived among men sinless. The perfect example of what we should all try to be. And because we couldn't live up to that, not you and I, but humans at that time, they got mad at Jesus and they falsely accused Him. They spit on Him. They tortured Him worse than any other human being has ever been tortured in the history of man. And then they just killed Him after that. They took His life. I mean, that would have to be one of the worst moments. Where was God? God was still faithful. God turned His back on His perfect, sinless Son for your sake and my sake. God allowed that to happen. God could have struck us all dead right then and put an end to all this mess. And if it had been my Son and I was God, I'd have done the same. But He didn't do that, did He? He allowed it to happen for your sake and for my sake. Don't tell me God's not faithful. God's faithful. God is faithful. And if anything we could be thankful for, we can be thankful for God's faithfulness. If we try, and I hope you see through Paul's words here, go home and read some more in Corinthians. It goes downhill from there. If anything, we can see that there's always something that we can be thankful for. Matthew Henry, some of you have probably read Matthew Henry's commentaries. Matthew Henry, the famous scholar, was once accosted by thieves and robbed of his purse. He wrote these words in his diary: "Let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because they took my purse, and they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not that much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, and not I who robbed." Isn't that something? Always something to be thankful for. D.L. Moody was once reading publicly through Psalm 103, and he came to the verse that says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." He stopped, and in his own unique way that only D.L. Moody could, he says, "You can't remember them all, of course, but don't forget them all. Remember some of them." Amen. The Lord's so good to us, we can't remember everything that He does for us, but we can be always thankful.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.